believe that. I mean, we've been speaking and sharing all weekend, so I think the Lord has been stirring some things. Even this morning, you know, I was just taken back because I didn't know what the worship team was going to be playing, but that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, I mean, that's an older one. But I was actually listening to that this weekend. It came up on my playlist. I haven't listened to that song in years. And all of a sudden, it gripped me over this weekend, and I was just like, God, that's my heart's cry again. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Why? Because I've shared this in recent weeks, and I don't know how many times I've said this, but the cry of my heart is not to get up here as a pastor and give you a good message, even though I pray that you do receive a message, you do receive challenge, you receive practical things, you receive things from the Spirit, revelation, you receive insight from the Word of God. But I don't just want to give a message, I want Jesus to speak. There's something about opening your mouth, and this position, you know, I don't take this lightly in the sense of, you know, like, I'm not saying I'm something that's more than any of you, because really, I'm just one of you. I'm one of you with a different responsibility, and my goal is to equip you guys for service, right? How am I going to do that if I don't have everything that you need? I can't. But you know who does have everything you need? Jesus does. The Holy Spirit does. And if he doesn't speak, then there's no reason for us to be here this morning. We've got plenty of places we could go to get a good word. I thank the Lord for institutions. I thank the Lord for great teachers. It's needed, everything. You know, I went to Bible school. You know, I learned those things were transformational. But I got to say, this season that we're in right now, we need Jesus, period. We need King Jesus to come. When you're in your workplace, they don't need to know about what you know about Jesus. They need Jesus. They need a transformational experience and encounter. I'm going to pray here in a second, and we're going to get into a quick word. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Three times. Maybe it'll, you know, take root. But I was thinking, you know, just, there was something powerful this last week. We went and we were evangelizing again at the UNCC campus. And I got to tell you guys, I mean, they're only in session through, you know, mid-May. I think we're going one more time. I believe it's going to be May 2nd to go back again just before they have their graduation and stuff like that. But, I mean, all nations are on that campus. And, you know, this isn't to, again, to brag on something that I've done, because honestly, I've kind of not been in a place of evangelism for some time. I obviously speak with you on a regular basis, so it's not like I'm doing nothing, but in the sense of sharing my faith with others outside of these four walls, it was something that I let kind of dwindle. You know what I'm saying? You know, I can, and we all have seasons, and I'm not going to make a list of excuses this morning. But there's something that's been reignited inside of my heart to see a generation encounter Jesus. I'm not talking about evangelism where we just simply have somebody repeat a prayer after us. I'm talking about allowing them to encounter Jesus. And we've been going out, and that's what we've been doing, sowing seeds. You know, it's someone plants, someone waters, but ultimately, who gets the increase? It's God that brings the increase. Unless the Spirit of man, God draws a man, he can't come to repentance. He can't come to salvation. So you just go out there, and you want Jesus to encounter people. And I was with Dominic the other night, and we met with this man named Nolan. He was 20 years old, but big guy. He's bigger than me. Strong-looking young man, and just real confused, to be honest. He grew up in a Baptist home, a Christian home, but he had struggles. He was living on the coattails of his parents' Christianity. Even so, the way that he represented it, it was as if, you know, it was very religious in form and not very relational, so he didn't really understand it. He didn't understand God. And so through discussion, initially, I mean, he didn't want anything to do with us. He didn't want prayer, didn't want anything, but all of a sudden we started having some conversation, and the Holy Spirit began to break down walls, and the conversation went all over the place. I mean, it came down to the fact that he was praying when he was 17, 18 years old in his room, and he was praying for something, and he was just wondering, God, are you going to answer these prayers? And he heard this lie in his head that said, no one's listening to you. There's nobody that's going to answer your prayer. And he began to go on this spiral. He didn't know that that was a lie. We told him that it was a lie. But he began to go down this spiral of, well, what is religion? You know, what is God? And he got to the point where he was saying, I don't even know if Jesus is God. I have a struggle with that. I think he was a good person. I think he may have been a prophet. I don't know if he was God. And he was saying all these things about, like, I'm a good person. And he had beefs with Paul. And he's like, to the point where I'm just bringing you into the understanding of this is where he was. You know, he's talking about Paul, and he's like, yeah, he did all these things, but I feel like he got what he deserved at the end. You know, he was a killer and a murderer, and he was able to do some cool things, but then at the end, karma caught up with him, and that's what the way he was saying. I'm like, that's not how it happened at all. So anyway, I mean, it was an hour-long conversation that we ended up having with this guy who didn't want anything to do with us. And I got to tell you, by the time we were done, all of a sudden we were praying for him and the Holy Spirit was all over him. I'm telling you, he left that place outside. You guys remember Thursday night? There was a lot of like storms and thunderstorms and stuff like that. It was so cool because there was a rainbow over the campus. Where we were, it was not raining. It was not raining. And God was there meeting with this young man, that Nolan, if you remember his name, pray for him. Pray for him, because I believe we were coming in agreement even with perhaps his mother's prayers, his grandmother's prayers, who knows. But there was an appointment for this young man who had an intelligent mind that all of a sudden the walls began to come down and confusion began to go and his heart was ignited for hunger for God. The verbiage changed. So those things don't happen unless you go. You want to experience the voice of God operating in your life? You want to see miracles? Go where there are the sick and the infirmed and the lost. There's only so many times you can pray for your spouse. Well, actually, you should do that all the time. Let me just backtrack there. But you understand, like, you can only heal your kids and your family so many times, but there's people that are in desperate need of a touch of God. That's what I'm trying to say. And we need to go out wherever that is, whether that's the UNCC campus or somewhere in Walmart, or we always use Walmart. I mean, it's some of you don't even go there anymore, but I understand. Jesus, move through us, move through us. That's my heart. The message for this morning is seeking for the Lord to act. Seeking for the Lord to act. I believe this is prophetic in nature, and I do believe it's going to be concise because it's what is on the Lord's heart, and he's going to activate some things in us as a church body today, but also as individuals. So pray with me for a second. Father, I thank you so much for all that you're doing in our hearts today. Lord, I thank you for what you've already brought in this room. Lord, I thank you for the worship that was able to rise to you, that aroma, Lord, that I know entertained you and brought you delight. Lord, that's our heart's desire, to bring you something that is of worth, Lord. We know really we have nothing. We have nothing, God, but by your grace, by your abundant mercy and loving kindness, by the power of your nature, Lord God, you draw us in, Lord, and you call us your own. Lord, I thank you that as we desire to see you lifted up and to see you exalted, that in these next few moments, God, you would capture the hearts of everyone in this room. Lord, that you would transform us by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see you. That's our worship, our cry. Open the eyes of our heart that we could see you, God. Because if we don't see you, we're running around in circles. We're chasing after faint images of you. But Lord, we want an encounter with you. So reveal yourself this morning. Lord, open the ears of our understanding, God. Open up the ears in this place, our spiritual ears, so that we could hear what your Spirit is saying. Lord, and open up our hearts to receive revelation from you and from your word. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Come, speak, Lord. Speak to us. speak to us in Jesus' name. If you're in agreement with that, shout amen. Amen. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 119. I said I'd be brief. We're just going to go through each verse one by one. I'm just kidding. Psalm 119, we're going to skip to, I think it's 121, verse 121. Hallelujah. When you're there, shout amen. Amen. All right, that's enough of you. I have done justice and righteousness, Psalm 119, starting in verse 121. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. You hear the cry of the psalmist. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. You know what surety is? A guarantee. You know what that means? That's like as if you were going in on a house and you needed to have a cosigner on your loan. That's what this is saying. You know when you have a cosigner, typically that's kind of, you know, in a negative light, or maybe there's just a situation that you have where money's tied up and you need to have some other backing and that kind of thing. But in this sense, I don't see it as a negative in the sense of, okay, you expended things that you weren't supposed to, so now you don't have enough to cover what you're about to get into. I see this as something as this man of God crying out to the Lord is asking for surety, because there's moments in your lives where you get to the end of your rope, the end of your ability, and you need God to come through. You need the resources of heaven to come through. And many of you might say, oh, well, maybe you should have started with that. Well, yeah, that's true. But in a sense, we're commissioned and we're called to act. There's things that we do by simple obedience. And we carry the kingdom of God within us. We carry the Spirit of God within us. But there's certain times when we're at the end of our natural wisdom and we need God to act. Can I tell you, that's where we find ourselves in society this morning. We need God to act. We need God to come in our nation, because our nation's divided. Even in a conversation with Nolan that I was referencing, he was getting all riled up about Gaza and Palestine, and we got into that a little bit, but we knew that that wasn't the conversation of the night. Can I tell you, the world is twisted and doesn't know what truth is. They listen to the voice of the masses. They listen to the voice of the loudest ones that are talking. And right now, the ones that are the loudest are not the Christians. They're not the ones full of the Holy Spirit. They're full of the ones, they're the ones full of the world and the spirit of Antichrist. The Lord said that there'd be many Antichrists that would come. There's an Antichrist spirit that's been around for a long time. And I'm not going to get into, you know, end times things fully this evening or this morning. You know, talking about who is the Antichrist and is he here and all this kind of stuff. That's not the point this morning. The point is we need God to act. And not only do we need God to act, but I believe that he's desiring to act. With all of my heart this morning, I know that the Lord is awakening churches around this nation. I know that he's awakening churches around the world. I've heard testimonies of God moving and disrupting people and doing some birthing inside of people's hearts and reviving people. And I came to this word not only because I know that God wants to act. I didn't even read that part of this verse yet, I don't think. We will. But Psalm 119 is full of the word, revive me, revive me, revive me according to your word, revive me according to your justice, revive me, revive me. And I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is awakening that inside of the heart of the true believers this morning. That would say, Lord, revive me not according to what I want to happen. Revive me not according to what I think I need to be. Revive me not according to anything I could dream, think, or imagine. Revive me according to your word. Revive me according to your justice, which is perfect. Lord, I see that all around me, the world is full of injustice. I see foolishness all around. I see people profaning your name. I see people spitting in your face and pulling out your beard, nailing you to the cross again, inside and outside of the church. I see it happening, God. And Lord, there must be justice. Not according to my heart, not according to my ability, not according to how I think it should be done, but according to your word, God, according to your ways, according to your heart. And I believe the Lord's standing at attention this morning. He's beginning to step up from the place, and don't say I'm preaching heresy this morning, because we know that he's seated in heavenly places. He's seated at the right hand of God. Can I tell you, seated doesn't necessarily mean sitting down. Seated means a place of authority. I believe the Lord's standing at attention, getting ready to call his end time warriors to a place of movement and action. We were calling the men to this place this weekend, and we only got to a little bit of that, but it was necessary that you know your brothers before you go into war. It's necessary that you live in unity with each other. That's why God called out and cried out. Jesus cried out, Lord, make them one as we are one, God. Make them one, because without them being one, there will be no victory. There will be no victory. There will be no strength. There'll be disruption in the camp. They may have levels of success, but at some point it will derail because of division. It'll derail because of contrary ideology and heart posture and vision. Lord, give us one vision for this season. Give us one heart, one mind, one accord. Be surety for us when we have nothing left, God. My eyes, verse 123, fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. You ever get tired? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about tired because you stayed up too late. I'm talking about tired. You get worn out. You get to that place where you're tired of fighting. You're tired of praying. You're tired of seeking. You're tired of these things because it's been a challenge. It's been a difficult road. There may be questions that remain unanswered years, decades long. I'm talking about seeking for salvation and finding yourself in that place where your eyes begin to fail and you're like, God, I need to see, I want to see, but my eyes are having trouble staying open. And I believe the Holy Spirit's here this morning to be able to begin to open up some blind eyes, some tired eyes. We started out in worship saying the Lord's going to grant you rest this morning. Rest doesn't mean necessarily doing nothing. Rest can very much be action, but action done with sustaining grace from Almighty God. It says, verse 124, deal with your servant according to your mercy. That's an authentic cry, because you recognize anything that the Lord gives, you don't deserve. That's mercy. Lord, give me what I don't deserve. Or even better, don't give me what I do deserve. And teach me your statutes. I'm your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. And underline this in your Bible, verse 126. It is time for you to act, O Lord. It is time for you to act, O Lord. For they have regarded your law as void. Lord, have mercy on America. Lord, have mercy on your church. Lord, have mercy on me for taking parts of your word and making it void. Do you know that we can do that as believers? Do you know that we can take parts of his word and cherry pick and find the things that we want to hold on to? You know, the bless me scriptures, the prosperous ones, the ones that lead me into some type of euphoric place, seemingly. We hold on to those things, but those ones that talk about persecution, those ones that talk about obedience through suffering, those ones that talk about challenges and trying and Job going through things and until he gets to the point where, Lord, I had heard of you, I thought I knew you, but now I've seen you. And what does that bring me to? The place where I repent in dust and ashes. Not because he's a foolish, you know, just a terrible man. He was a righteous man before everything took place in his life. But he thought he knew God, and then God showed him himself. And he was able to come to the place, Lord, I repent for holding up this image of you that wasn't accurate. I repent because you're so much better. You're so much more pure. Your ways are so much higher than mine. Your word is so much more powerful than I ever thought it could be. It holds me. It sustains me. You have the ability to do things that the song that we sang, that turn things that the enemy meant for evil into tremendous good. That even though I could lose all of these things in my life, things that are so close to me, relationships, possessions, things that I've worked hard and sweat and bled for, and you will restore multiple times over and restore life in abundance, because that's part of your nature. And you will always have the last word. Lord, I thought I knew you, but now I see you. And that's my heart's cry. It's hard being a preacher that's supposed to be in front of you showing you Jesus. Do you understand why? Because I know that I don't have the fullness of him. I have a portion of him. I have a portion of him. I'm going to do my best to express that portion that I've encountered. But far be it from me that I would be one that shows who Jesus is in a way that is not him. You understand what I'm saying? That's a humbling thing. Because I don't want you to receive a phony Jesus. I want you to receive the authentic Jesus. It's time for the Lord to act, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold. Yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. He finds himself at the end of his rope, but yet he cries out for the Lord to act, and he senses this thing about justice, about there being a purity that comes forth, there being truth that comes to cancel out the things that people are making void in the law of God. And he stands in the place where he declares all your precepts, all things I consider to be right. Not my ways, not their ways. Not their new rules, not their new insights, not, oh my goodness, that's so old. How can that be for our culture, our time? You know, that's crazy. Why would you go by an old law? Well, if the law was right, I'll leave that there anyway. Jesus, turn to Isaiah 6, Isaiah 6. And then we're going to go to Matthew 7 and we'll close. How many of you believe that the Lord needs to act? And he needs to act quickly. At least that's the way I feel about it. He'll act whenever he wants to. But I sense with all my heart there's something that's going to happen this very year that's going to blow the church away. And what do I mean by that? I mean, he's going to surprise us and cause the church to rise up the way that it ought to be. An authentic bride rising up in an hour when there's immense darkness that will continue to get darker. The schemes of man will get even trickier. There'll be all kinds of confusion in the world, but the church is going to rise up and you're going to see the power of God come through you, through you. You understand? He's calling us as Fire Church to rise up. Do you know that this church was planted with a mission? This church was planted with a deposit from the very fire of God, with a command to reach the world with the gospel, with a command to be a people that are authentic, that when you come into encounter with him, you are required to steward that kind of a thing. And some of you, you're here and I look around the room and some of you guys on the back row, I mean, you weren't even born when this church was founded. You weren't born when this was a thought in the heart of God. Others of you, maybe this is your first time here. Guess what? Today is the day where you get to join in, and it's like the scriptures where it's like the first will be last, the last will be first. I mean, it doesn't matter. We share in the same thing because this is the kingdom. And can I tell you, this Fire Church has not seen anything yet. This church has not seen the call that God has upon this body. We are called for more. We're not just a church on the side of the road where we're going to get excited for a couple hours on a weekend and maybe have some other gatherings during the week. No, this is a changing, transformational body that God is going to use as mighty warriors, kind of like special ops in the last days. I believe that with all my heart. I don't say that pridefully. I say that we have a commission to be those that are authentic and powerful and submitted to his word, submitted to his spirit, submitted to his guiding, that everything, single thing that we do is not out of our strength, but we're at the point where we're saying, Lord, for years we've done a lot of things with you, without you, you know. If it's not birthed in prayer, it cannot be sustained. That's been the prophecy over this house from the beginning. God moves in response to prayer. He does. Prayer changes us. We recognize that as well. But can I tell you, this church needs to be a continual house of prayer. We've seen things rise up from the beginning of this year, abiding with the Lord. But can I tell you, we need to be a greater people of prayer. Every single day, praying incessantly. I'm not saying that you got to pray out loud. I've talked about that many other weeks. You know, prayer isn't necessarily words. Prayer is communication. Prayer is connection with the heart of God. Prayer is listening. Prayer is receiving as much as it is giving. But we need to be a praying church. If we're called to reach the nations, do you believe that? That we're called to reach the nations. Whether that's literally on that map or it's in our neighborhoods. Whether it's in Charlotte where there's refugees from all around the world. My goodness, my neighborhood, my suburban neighborhood is a melting pot. You don't have to go very far. I can go literally across the street where it says, Eid Mubarak, and I know that there's a message that needs to be said to that household. You know what that means, right? They're celebrating Ramadan, and I won't explain it if you don't understand. But now is the time for the church to rise up. There will be some shifting in the days ahead. I know that. But God's doing it for his perfect purposes. In Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. Picture this. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. One cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled, full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. Can you imagine that? We're not talking about an earthquake. We're talking about cries. Cries going forth in the presence of the one who sits on the throne. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. We reached something this morning, but can I tell you there's even more that can come from the heart of his people. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. May the earth be filled with his glory, full of his glory, in each and every one of his children, inside of his bride. So Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Again, this man that probably thought he knew what God looked like. He had some sense of understanding, as young as he may have been. "Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged.'" There's some things that only the very fire of God can cleanse and purge. The blood of Jesus, yeah, it takes away all our sin. But there's something about iniquity being purged from us. Something being taken away from our very lips, the things that continually try to draw back that which was already removed from you. We know by our mouth there's blessing and cursing, there's life and death, But we condemn ourselves with the very words that come out of our mouth. We condemn our nation with the very words that come out of our mouth. We condemn our relationships. We condemn the very will of God by the words of our mouth and the disbelief and the doubt and the shaking and the foolish things that we agree with the accuser of the brethren and repeat his lies. And we exchange truth for a lie. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. He gives them an encouraging word. But how many of you know you can go through difficulty if you encounter the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And whatever mission the Lord gives you, it'd be foolishness not to go through with what he commands you to do. It would be foolishness to the world to do what he commands you, but it'd be foolishness for you to not obey. I don't care what's happened in your past. I mean, I do in a certain degree. I'm not that much of a jerk, you know. It's like I care about you, but can I say it this way? Your past doesn't define you. Whatever happened yesterday, it does not define who you are in this moment, nor does it define or limit what God will do through you tomorrow. Stop living in the past. Stop living in the past. Stop living in echoes. Stop living in echoes. Are you hearing me? Listen to the faint whisper and the cry of the Lion of Judah. That's saying, I want to act. I'm begging. I'm desiring. I'm crying out for there to be a people that cries out for me to act. Do you know that's what prayer is? Prayer is literally restating exactly what he states in heaven. We repeat back to him what's on his heart. That's true prayer and intercession. And that's the way he partners with us to advance the kingdom. So if you want to be an echo, don't echo your past. Echo what's happening in the throne room. The holy, holy, holy. The earth is filled with the glory of God. That in your home, when you're going through trials and you're going through relational turmoil, and you're feeling like, I'm tired of constantly being betrayed. That's the marks of my life. I've got so many scars, so many wounds. I don't even know if I have any flesh that is pliable anymore. It's all scarred. It's all hard. It's all difficult. Can I even love? And the Lord's saying, by my mercy, I will transform you. I will remove all the wrongs that were done against you. And I will deliver you out of your troubles, as the psalmist would cry out for him to do. I will do it. I will surely do it. I will cleanse you. I will wash you. I'll fill you with strength. I'll fill you with hope. And whether or not you look like something in the natural or not, I will make you beautiful and powerful. I'll make you a force in the earth. The Lord must act. And he's seeking for us to act and respond. Final chapter, and I'll call the worship team. Matthew 7. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll just hit this kind of quickly. Another time, maybe we'll go a little bit deeper, but listen to these words from Jesus as he's talking about persistence in prayer. They were persistent there too, but Matthew 7. Verse 7 should be easy for you to remember. 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Hard stop. Ask, seek, knock. These aren't someone else's words. These aren't suggestions from a prophet. These aren't suggestions from some guru. This is from Jesus himself. Ask, seek, knock. Those words go forth and they carry creative divine ability with them. Those words go forth and they command a response from humanity, but also the sustaining grace to remain in that place until you see that open door. There's a command, there's a response, and a promise. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. What a promise. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. As I was reading this, the Holy Spirit said this to me again. I'm not trying to promote heresy because it doesn't exactly say this. But when I read that word gifts, I heard in my spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Let's read this again. Or if then you being evil that know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Give the Holy Spirit the surety of your lives. That you know you cannot do it in your own ability. You need the power of the Holy Ghost. You need the power of the Spirit of Christ operating, not just to motivate you, not just to give you peace or a place of firm standing, even though those things are important, but to literally come through you and show up. To literally, when you open your mouth, it's not by natural wisdom. It's the Spirit of God speaking. There's so many different times that I love it when it happens and I cry out for it more, that it's literally like I'm watching myself doing things. And words come out of my mouth. I'm like, where did that even come from? It's awesome to partner with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and watch the Holy Spirit operate through you, because he gets the most glory in that. This life is an adventure in Christ. This life we live is not one that is boring. I shared that with the men. If you find church boring, you're boring. We don't come to church to receive and just make it about ourselves. Even though that's important, I want you to receive. Well, there's times where we're supposed to receive. But our motivation is to come and assemble as the bride of Christ together, bringing something, bringing all that we have to share. You're to be the answer for someone else's prayer across this room. You're supposed to be the one that lays a hand on them and brings comfort when they need it. You're supposed to share a testimony that allows them to have hope in their current situation. You're the one that's supposed to be leading us in worship. You're the one that's supposed to be collectively praying together with us in the household of faith to see transformation in this generation. You're here to do something. You're here to bring something, to give something. Maybe a prophecy, maybe a word. It's not all about the gifts, but you have something to bring. So if church is boring, you're boring. God's not boring, you're boring. Jesus, it's time for you to act. Keep on seeking and knocking. Seeking and knocking. Revelation, the Church of Philadelphia, God talks about opening doors that no man can shut. That's our generation. That's for us as fire right now this morning. He will open up doors that no man can shut. You've got a little strength, I'm going to give you more strength. You've got a little understanding, I'm going to give you greater understanding. You've got a little ability, I'm going to give you my divine ability. It's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something. I shared a story with the men, and I'm going to ask you to stand here. Just stand all across the room. And I believe there needs to be a collective response this morning. This altar is going to be a shoreline. I shared this story with the men. It's a story of history. And again, I don't condone necessarily what took place in this story, but I want you to draw attention to the courage in the story. There's a man named Hernando Cortez. Some of you may know him from history. 1519, he was one of those conquest type guys. He was from Cuba wanting to take over the Aztecs. For 600 years, the Aztec Empire was full of riches and gold and all kinds of things, and people would try to come from around the world to overtake them and rob them of their stuff. And you have to understand, during that time, that was normal. You know, today, if your neighbor has something that you want, I just encourage you to ask to borrow it, and you know, you don't have to kill them and take their stuff. Anyway, we'll leave that there. The whole understanding is the Aztecs had their act together. They knew how to fight. They weren't an easy foe. But Cortez began sharing with the people, his people, the men. You know, there's some things that could change in our lives should we win a victory against the Aztecs. Imagine what it would do for your children. Imagine what it would do for your family. Imagine what it would do for our country. He began to inspire them, and he brought forth 500 men with him on 11 boats, 16 horses, and they came. 100 sailors on a long journey to go and overtake the Aztecs. And as they're going, the people on the boats begin to second-guess themselves. They begin to start thinking, man, nobody's ever done this before. Nobody's ever actually conquered this foe. Can I tell you, that's the voice of the enemy, just the way that he works there. Jesus already conquered the devil. Jesus already conquered death. Jesus already conquered sin. But sometimes the enemy will come in and make you think that it hasn't been conquered. He'll make you second guess. They're going on this path, and they get to the shore, and Cortez does something phenomenal. And this is what I wanted to get to. He knew that his men were struggling on the inside. And instead of being like Gideon saying, hey, if you're fearful, get on the boats and go back home. What did he do? He burned the ships. He burned the ship, so there was no way going back home. The only way back home was through victory. The only way back home was conquering the foe, the enemy, and taking their boats back home. Can I tell you, that's what the Lord is calling, that kind of courage out of us this morning. To burn the ships, no turning back, no looking back. When we start out, there's no going back. It's time for the Lord to act, and he's looking for those that say, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, use me. Here I am, fill me. Here I am, let me see you. Open up the eyes of my spirit and the eyes of my heart so that I can have a full revelation of what I'm bringing to this world. If you're with me this morning and you sense the Holy Spirit of God drawing you, I believe he's going to descend on us this morning as we come together in worship. As we come together, unified as the body and the bride of Christ, saying, yes, Lord, whatever it costs, whatever it takes, I'm laying my fears down, I'm laying my pride down, I'm laying my ego down, I'm laying all my excuses down, God. I'm laying my past down, and I'm saying, burn the ships, God. Burn the way back. Burn the way back to mediocrity. Burn the way back to my trauma. Burn the way back to my parental enablement or disablement and my dysfunction. Burn the way back, God, to my failures. And let me see the victory ahead. Let me taste and see that you are good. Let me know, God, that you open up doors that no man can shut. That when the battle of the Lord is fought, it's fought by you. We come into agreement, but ultimately the battle is the Lord's. I want you to join me at this altar as if this is the shores. These are the shores that the Lord's calling us to. Because We're heading into battle. It's beyond just simply saying, God, I want you, I need you, I want to have more of you. This is saying, Lord, I want to have more of you because the world needs you. Because I need to have your heart for a generation that does not fear you, that promotes your law as void, that spits in your faith and causes those things that are on your heart that you love to be those things that are rejected and despised. As they despise Israel, they despise you. As they despise humankind, they despise you. As they hate you, God, they hate us. Lord, we come into agreement this morning. Lord, that you are the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the King of glory. And we're asking that you would act. Lord, make us a people that would intercede. Make us a people that would connect with you in the Spirit. Make us a people that would see you and have the coal of the altar coming and cleansing our lips. Lord God, so that we could become one with you, undone before you, in your presence, but ultimately echoing the heart chamber of heaven, singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Fill us with your glory. Act within us, God, and bring healing to our generation. Bring healing to our marriages. Bring healing to our society. Bring healing to the hearts and minds that have been tainted by the force of sin. God, move within us and cause us to be a body bound together, fighting for one another, shoulder to shoulder, with eyes like fire, set like flint, with no turning back. No turning back, God. Raise us up, God. Raise us up, God. Cry out to the Lord. The Holy Spirit's going to descend upon you as we worship this morning.